Well, hello, Metal.
Hey, what's up there, Petal?
Not much. How are you?
Ah, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm well. I'm a little bit slowed down today. I don't know what's up with that.
Oh yeah? You
But that's
feeling
all
okay?
right. I'm having a hard time concentrating and getting stuff done, which is unlike me. So,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so you know what? I'm just giving myself a little bit of a break. But that's fine.
Good.
And I have been working. I did some writing, and what I do when this happens, it might be useful for others to know, but I'll just lie around until I think of a work job that, even if it's kind of time wasty, that I enjoy.
Yes.
And so I am sitting here working on fiddling around with some new covers for a trilogy that I think needs new covers, and I'm going to try to do it myself rather than hiring it out, which no one should do. Let me put that out there. I'm going to run it past people to make sure it's fine. And I do this from time to time. I make new covers, I sit on them, I go back a week or two later. I'm like, no, that's not good enough. So,
Yeah.
but for me, it's fun. So that's what I'm doing right now.
That's a really good little tip there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of do something similar, which has to do with the amount of time I have. So like if I let's say I look up and I have 30 minutes before I have to say pick my son up from school. I know that like I don't want to get deep into revisions for 30 minutes. Like
Right.
that's not enough time to like put myself into it. So I look for a task that I can complete in 30 minutes or less. And even if it's totally low priority or not important, at least it feels to me like I'm filling that time productively as opposed to like screwing around on Facebook for 30 minutes.
Exactly. Although sometimes Facebook is my thing that I pull up because I go to it so rarely. I'm like, I've got 30 minutes. I better clear out like last week's Facebook comments
Yeah, but
before I locate it.
that's a I mean
Yeah.
that's a good example. You know, I don't think you always have to have like these major blocks of time and really important projects. Like sometimes you just need to get the little shit done,
Absolutely.
and that's just as productive, you know? Even like if you're not feeling well or something.
Where do you keep, like, because you mentioned you like look at the list. Do you have a list of things you need to do every day? I can't remember.
That's on my Google
Oh, it's on the Google
Calendar.
Calendar. Right, your crazy Google Calendar. You know, I did that for a while. I started putting everything on my Google Calendar, and then it was just stressing me out to see the days like boom, full. So I stopped doing that. You know me, I'm always iterating my time spending.
You really like sort of that process of finding new processes. So like I think that's part of the fun for you, you know? Like
That's
so
a good
that's
way to say
okay.
it. That's part of my
Yeah.
process is looking for new processes. Thus, my entire other podcast, How Do You Write? It's all a
Yeah.
process. I mean, at least I understand this about myself.
Exactly. Yeah.
I wanted to say real quick that shout out to Adrienne Bell, who you guys were awesome and hilarious. And I guess this was late last week. I went to the lake and I went for my little run that I've been doing, and I fired it up and I was just so amused, and I was grinning and laughing as I
Good.
ran around the lake, and I looked like a crazy person to people. And it was just so fun to hear you two talking, and for some reason your voices went really well together, and it just seemed like you got on like a house on fire. And it was very fun to listen to the whole idea about podcasting.
Yeah, it was. It was great fun. Adrian was a really great guest and very easy to talk to, and she was like she didn't stress out. Like I think I emailed her like 2 minutes ahead of time, and I'm like, "So we're just gonna record right off the top, okay?" And she's like, "Yeah, sure."
And that is exactly what Adrienne would say. She would say it just like that. Yeah, sure. Why not? She's
Yeah.
just, and she, you know, you're one of my favorite people, and she's one of my favorite people, and I mean that in the very truest sense. Like, you guys are in my inner sanctum. And
Aww.
I think that's what it was, is to hear two people I love so much talking about a topic that I love so much. It felt like my birthday or something.
Ah, good.
It
Good.
was the best. No new Patreon supporters though, but if anybody would like to support, we're at patreon.com/thepedaltothemetal. And I've been bad about looking at the comments this week, of course.
Yeah, I've
Any good
been
ones?
trying to keep up with them. It's good. We had, this is our comments on last week's episode with Adrian were number 77, and it was why podcasting. And if you missed that episode, Adrian, along with Eliza Peake, has started the Misfits podcast for Indie Romance. I'm butchering the exact name, but you guys know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I thought it was an interesting question because I had a different one for you, Rachel, that Ooh. We'll get to today.
Okay.
But I also thought it was a great opportunity to talk to someone who's relatively new. And both Eliza and Adrian are new to podcasting. And I think sometimes, I know I'm guilty of this, I'll look at what another author's doing and I'll go, yeah, but that's them. And like, they have this X, Y, and Z, and I don't have that. And so that's not something I could do. And I'm afraid that sometimes listeners might think like, oh yeah, well, you know, Rachel and Jay, well, they have all these podcasts and they know what they're doing. And, you know, I couldn't possibly do anything like that. So I thought it was great to get a perspective from two women who don't have anything and decided just to start it. And it was a great conversation. I really suggest people go back and listen if you didn't listen to that episode, because I think it was also good for me to be reminded about what it feels like to start something like that without any idea of what you're doing and just sort of taking that plunge.
And I think you and I agree on this, is that that kind of jump feels really fun to people like you and me.
Yes.
To other people, that might seem nightmarish.
Yes.
But doing that as a brand new thing and jumping into it like we did and like they did for us is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I just want to mention that as I scanned over the comments from Anne Marie, and Jeff Adams chimed in. Of course, you know, him and his husband have been podcasting for a while now, so he's more of a veteran. It was great to hear from him.
Yeah.
And you know, and Edwin jumped in there, saying, you know, he doesn't necessarily write romance, but you know, trying to get some more characters in there, and maybe he needs to give Eliza and Adrian's podcast a good listen to. And then there was one comment that came in from a new commenter, Ray, that had to do with a different episode. But I want to save that because that's going to kind of get into where we're headed today.
Okay, cool. Well, shall we jump on into that?
Yeah, I had one more transitional thing that might take us into that. I wanted to let people know of a new podcast that's out that I've been listening to.
Ooh.
That is absolutely phenomenal. And although I don't have any benefit if people listen to it, I do have somewhat of a personal connection. The podcast started in late May. It's called The Doctor's Pharmacy, and that's pharmacy with an F, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y.
I like that.
Yeah, and it is hosted by Dr. Mark Hyman. And Dr. Hyman is probably the world's leading functional medicinist. And if you don't know what functional medicine is, it's basically a holistic approach to health and wellness. And Dr. Oz is technically a functional medicinist. So the kinds of things you would see on Dr. Oz, like ways to change your diet to become healthy or herbal remedies for certain things. Now, Dr. Hyman is a doctor. Like, he's a real doctor. It's not like, you know, quack science or anything. But it's this whole movement. And I'm seeing one of the doctors in his practice, because he's at the Cleveland Clinic.
Is that how you heard about the podcast?
Well, I read his books and I've seen him on Dr. Oz, and I knew of him from being in Cleveland. And when I was looking to see a functional medicinist, I went, unfortunately, he was not taking new clients, but he still practices, which also tells you something about him.
Yeah.
You know, he's sort of a media personality. He's world renowned. He's involved with things all over the world, but he still takes patients in Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow.
So it's really cool. They're only 7 or 8 episodes in, and I quickly wanted to read the summary just so people have some idea. His summary is, we are seeing an ever-increasing burden of chronic disease primarily driven by our food and food system. This is perpetuated by agriculture, food, and healthcare policies that don't support health. We need to rethink disease and reimagine a food system and a healthcare system that protects health, unburdens the economy from the weight of obesity and chronic disease, protects the environment, helps reverse climate change, and creates a nation of healthy children and citizens. This podcast is a place for deep conversations about the critical issues of our time in the space of health, wellness, food, and politics.
Hell yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And just to give you some idea, and Rachel, you'll appreciate this being a podcaster, that podcast has been up since late May. It has 453 ratings and about a 5-star average.
Stop it.
Which makes me feel like total shit.
Wow. Yeah, you're friends with Dr. Oz, though, too. Who, I have to say, sometimes I think Dr. Oz is a little bit of a quack. And I'm going to save that for other people listening who might think that about Dr. Oz. However, the whole functional medicine thing, I absolutely believe in. Sometimes I think that Dr. Oz is a little bit, don't you think, sometimes?
Yeah, he's got, I mean, he's a cult of personality. And
he's a cult of personality, that's what it is.
And I don't know him, so I don't want to cast judgment, but I think for me, as I mentioned, the fact that Dr. Hyman still sees patients and that he practices in Cleveland, makes me feel like he's a little more grounded.
I love that. And you know me, I'm always interested in thinking about health and food and the way we live and hacking that too, just the way I love to hack my writing process. I like to hack my body, and so do you.
Yeah.
And I find that really, really interesting. So I'm definitely going to dive into that podcast. Thank you. I will let you know.
Yeah, cool.
I'll listen to it while I'm running around the lake. And by running, running for 3 minutes and then walking and breathing heavily for a minute or two.
Well, you'll enjoy it. The first full episode is an interview with the guy who wrote the book called Salt, Sugar, Fat. I think the name of it.
Yes, I read that. It was great.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's going to all the people that I like reading about. Mm, good.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Which ties perfectly to a comment that new commenter Ray Miller posted, R-A-Y-E Miller, and I'm assuming she, I probably shouldn't assume that, but I will. She posted something about health, and it was in regards to our priorities episode, which was number 75.
Okay.
Are your priorities in the right order? And basically she said that she's had chronic pain and chronic health issues for most of her life, and she's trying to figure out basically, you know, how do you be productive? How do you get shit done? How do you write when you're sort of dealing with, you know, health issues? And we all have issues that we deal with. And I know that we've sort of talked about doing some episodes around health, and you and I aren't quite there yet. We haven't quite discussed that in enough detail, I think, to do it right.
Yeah.
But I thought I would open the door tonight with sort of a general question that might set the table for us.
I love this. Great.
Yeah. And you can answer this in whatever way you want. If you want to think of it physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationships, however you want to answer it. This is the question. This is one that I've struggled with at various times in the past and even most recently. The question is, how do you know if you're healthy?
Ooh, that's a great question. That's huge. How do you know if you're healthy? There's this knee-jerk response I want to give that I believe is what I would say if you asked me in a bar and I just wasn't really thinking very hard. And I think it's a wrong answer. So I'm going to say it. How do you know if you're healthy? My knee-jerk answer would be, well, if I'm happy, if I'm content and happy. And I think that is wrong. I've been thinking a lot lately about just emotional stuff. And sometimes when I'm healthy, I'm also not, I don't have to be that happy. Happiness is not directly come out of health. Because there's just shit that happens, you know, when you're going through grief or loss or, you know, grieving something in yourself that you've lost, happiness might not come. But if you're building back towards health, that is healthy. But say the question one more time.
How do you know if you're healthy?
How do I know that? I think the truest answer that's coming to me is when I know I'm healthy, I feel healthy when everything I'm doing is in alignment with this is gonna sound so hokey, but with but with truth.
Yeah.
I know that it is true that my deepest desire is to write things that move other people emotionally. When I am writing things that move other people emotionally, I feel like I'm doing the right thing. That's my healthy choice for my job. When I feel like I'm being true to this body that I live in and not throwing garbage at it, when I'm actually taking in what I really want and not just sugar, which is my brain tells me I want, then I feel healthy. And this, I'm so glad that you asked this today. Because to be honest,
you're not feeling well.
sometimes in my house we call it malaise. You know,
yeah.
Like Lala will come home and I'll know that something's off. And you know, is anything wrong? No, nothing's wrong. I say, you know, oh, do you have malaise? I do have malaise today. It's kind of the, you know, the mean reds, and today I did something. I went out to a meeting this morning, and then I came home, and it was still really early, and I was fighting a headache. And instead of going right to my desk at 8 a.m., I got back in bed and I took some Chinese herbs to help with headache, which I think actually worked and which I actually think knocked me out quite a bit. they made me sleep and it was great and I needed it. And I woke up and I felt super guilty because I hadn't gotten 4,000 words done, you know, and yeah. And I did lie there and think until I realized that what I was doing was an active thing. I was choosing to rest. And a long time ago, I saw someone wrote this down. If you're actively taking care of your health today by resting, you are being productive. That is a productive yes. thing. And that really changed the way I look at rest. And you and I have talked about rest before, but resting really can be productive when you need it. And I have to be real careful because my own depression comes at me in the form that I really like to get in bed and pull the covers over my head and not move for a long time.
Right.
So I had to think about it today. Is this a depressive move of getting in the bed? No, I'm fighting a headache. I'm sleeping. I'm taking care of myself. This is a positive place. And it felt true. And that brings me back to the truth. If it feels true to me, I know I'm in the healthy place. Quitting drinking was the healthiest thing I've ever done. Quitting drinking and quitting smoking so much pot. Because what I was doing was I was numbing truth for so long, and I wasn't right. ever having to sit in truth, which brings me right back to sometimes when you sit in truth, it's not happiness. I would love yeah. to numb the fuck out and to get super, super blazed and super drunk, and that would feel good in the moment, but it's not actually the truth. It's not sitting with the truth, and that doesn't make me healthy. And I prefer health and truth to a fake comfort of numbness or, you know, sugar binging that makes me feel worse later. And it always makes me feel worse later. And it makes me feel like not the person I want to be.
Yeah.
Seems like I just spoke around that in a real big way. So I want to hear what you have to say about that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think you spoke around it at all. I think what you're talking about is, in a way, it's sort of how I would answer it, although I think for me, I don't, one of my major issues in life, like one of the things I know that is, I'm hardwired this way, it's part of me, in the same way that I'm very organized and I'm very systematic about things, and I get a ton of shit done, and I've always been that way. Yeah. That's just part of me. The other part of me is, I'm not good. I'm terrible at self-identifying whether or not I'm healthy. And this has happened in multiple ways for me. It's happened when I've had bouts of depression, where I didn't realize how depressed I was at the mm-hmm. time. I couldn't see it. And more recently, with some of my chronic physical issues, I didn't know. Like, if you would have asked me a year ago, are you healthy? I would have been like, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm healthy. I mean, like, I don't have any issues. I'm not on medication. I'm not overweight. I'm not this. I'm not that. And I wasn't. I was very sick, and I'm still sick, and I'm healing, but, like, I didn't... I couldn't tell you at the time, so I don't know when I'm healthy, and that kind of worries me a little bit.
Mm.
And what I've sort... The way I've sort of compensated for that, and this is... Because, like, you're talking in truth, and I have a little different angle on this, in that I'm using my brain in a way, but I'm leveraging the experts in the form of books, which is so fitting for what I do. Exactly. And what I want to do. Yeah. Right. So, like, I've been doing so much research around some of the chronic issues that I've had, and, like, every time I come across a study or an article or in something legit, I'm not talking about, like, WebMD Google searches or anything, but I'm talking about, like, legit shit, you know.
Yeah.
And I read, like, what's involved, I go, oh my God, like, that's totally me. And not in a hypochondriac way, but, like, looking back, like I use these texts and these books and these articles to look back and identify I was really sick at that point. But at that point, I didn't know it.
And it was your normal. It's real hard to know when you're sick when that is all you've ever known.
Yeah. So, like, here's an example. I've always had a really fast metabolism. Like, even when I was a kid and a teenager, and even in my 20s, I could eat a fuckload of food.
I bet.
And not have any issues. Like, I could eat McDonald's and pizzas, and, like, I was thin as a rail. And like, when I started getting really abusing alcohol and was really drinking a lot, like, into my 30s, my face started to balloon out a bit, and I started to put on weight around the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you looked at me, you wouldn't be like, oh, he's overweight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, if you had asked me, I would be like, no, I'm not overweight, but I was a healthy overweight. I was what I think they call it, like, healthy obesity. It's where, you know, you're not healthy weight wise, but you don't look fat,
for
lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And that was totally me. Like, I was, like, now I'm on the low end of my ideal weight, but, like, now I'm at a healthy weight and my, you know, my BMI is down, but, like, a year ago, I was not. Like, I was overweight, technically, but I didn't look it.
Wow. What?
So, I don't know, like, I don't know what that means, and I don't know if there are, you know, if listener has, like, that issue where you're like, well, I think I'm healthy, but what if I'm not? How do I know?
That's a really, really, really good question. And for me, it again, it comes back to that, to that you can't, I believe that we all know on a real deep level. Like, when you say you didn't know, I wonder if you knew a little bit. Do you think you did?
I'm sure somewhere in my cells, I knew that, like, a normal, healthy 47-year-old man didn't need to take a 2-hour nap every afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, I think deep in my cells, I knew that was not what healthy meant. But, like, at the time, I don't know. I was like, oh, yeah, I nap. Like, and there's nothing wrong with napping, and people nap all the time. But, like, if you need one on a daily basis and it's not deliberate, like, maybe that's a red flag that something's wrong.
Yeah, it's about paying attention to those red flags.
Yeah.
And it's about listening to the body. And listening to the brain and to the emotions too, because they're all so interconnected. I was just looking at Ray's comment too, and she was talking about the low gas tank.
Right.
Do you know the theory of spoons, the spoons theory?
I'm not sure I've ever heard of that.
Oh, it's a really, really good one. I can't remember the person who came up with it, but if you Google spoons and health, her initial blog post is the first one to pop up. And she talks about how we're all given, she felt that she was given a certain number of spoons every day. And if she used one spoon to get up and take a shower and another spoon to make breakfast and another spoon to eat it, if she only got three spoons that day, that meant health-wise she needed to go back to bed. A lot of us are given, I'm given 7,000 spoons some days. I just have so many of them. And then it's really helped me with my chronic migraines and this other immunological disease that I have, thinking about the spoons, I have to remember that, because some days I just, like today, I'm just running slow. I woke up with 100 spoons and not 7,000. And and I think that's what Ray's talking about with that, with the low gas tank. It's knowing yourself and knowing your own body. And for me, it's hacking what I can do with my body to give myself some more spoons, but also giving myself for complete forgiveness and love when I don't have the spoons to do everything that I need to that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
So I think we have to ask everyone, how do they know if they're healthy?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that seems to be like our our built-in question for this week.
And Ray, please know that we are planning on coming back into a big health issue, like episode that we're going to talk about, like nitty-gritty, what works for us, right? Is that what we were planning on doing?
Yeah, and I think there's a number of ways we can approach it, and I think there's an opportunity for maybe even to serialize something. Like, you know, maybe every so many episodes we do a focus on health, and it could be mental health, it could be emotional health, it could be physical well-being.
Oh, that's a great idea. I love that. Let's do that.
Yeah, we could see, and I think, too, that might get, you know, people know, like, oh, it's the third Wednesday of the or third whatever day of the month. This is the health episode, or, you know.
Cool.
Because, you know, the more I get into this, the more I realize that if you're not healthy in every way, then nothing else we're talking about really matters.
Exactly. You can't be a writer.
You can't. You can't be an independent
writer.
Creative if you're not healthy.
Yep. You just can't.
You just, yeah. So it's that important, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. I love it.
All right.
That's fantastic. Okay. So listeners, hit us up. We want to hear.
Yeah, let us know, how do you know if you're healthy?
Cool. All right, well, happy writing to you, my friend. And I will
talk
to you very soon.
Okay, bye-bye.